understand both exist, right? It's just a question of what to apply.
No, the question is, do you always interpret things as ribuyu miuti, or you always interpret them through klal upratu klal?
And then so you can't do it sometimes this way, sometimes that way.
That's right. So the Gemara says, listen, you know, really Rabbi, the Gemara had thought that Rabbi Darshin Shvuos Ribuyu Miuti, but the Gemara says, but we find that in regards to the making a hole in the ear of the Eved Nirtza, Rabbi Darshin Klal Upratu Klal. So now starting today's daf, the Gemara says, you know what, really Rabbi does normally Darshin Klal Upratu Klal. In regards to Pidyon HaBen, Rabbi Darshin Ribuyu Miuti, because the two klalim are right next to each other, and then you have the pratim. And that's what we find in regards to the issues of kosher fish, where again you have the word bamayim twice, and then afterwards you have naharos and yamim, so we said that's Ribuyu Miuti. So, well, at that point, once you say that Rebbe darshins klal uprat normally, and only when you have two klalim next to each other with details afterwards does it become ribuyu miuti like with fish, so now you have a problem. So why does the Mishnah say that in oaths, there are four cases of oaths that'll cause an obligation of the sliding scale karban? According to Rabbi Ishmael, there are only two cases. It's only the future tense that will bring you the obligation of the sliding scale carbon, not the past tense. So you say, okay, you're right. You know, as Rabbi doesn't agree here with Rabbi Akiva, he's just saying this is the view of Rabbi Akiva. He just presented Rabbi Akiva's view as if it was his view. Because Rabbi himself wouldn't agree to it, because he wouldn't darshin ribuyu miuti over here. Here he would darshin the general way of klal upratu klal. So that's what the Gemara ended by saying, b'shvuos nasiv alibad Rabbi Akiva v'lei lo svirle. He doesn't actually agree with it. Yeah, question.
The ones that pierced their ears, they were the Jewish slaves that they served their time?
They served the 6 years, correct. And then they said they wanted to continue serving.
They want to continue.
That's right. They wanted to stay on and serve longer.
Why they had to, you know, to pierce their ears if they wanted
as
to
a continue. Punishment, because Hashem said we should be slaves to Him, not slaves to a human being. So a person that whose ear heard on Sinai, for the Jewish people are my slaves, and he says, no, I'm going to have a human being as my master, not God as my only master, deserves to have his ear pierced.
Oh, that's a punishment.
It's a punishment, exactly.
I thought it was like police and that's
no,
it.
It's a punishment.
That is a free man.
Okay, so now we're up to the two dots on Hey Amud Aleph. So back at the top of Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara had been discussing the uniqueness of Yedios HaTumah. As I mentioned already several times, normally, when you have to bring a karban chatas, it's that you forgot that this activity was prohibited. Let's say Shabbos is a great example. He forgot the day of Shabbos, and he drove a car, he planted a tree, he did all sorts of malachos, forgetting that the day is Shabbos. He has to bring a karban chatas because he forgot that it was Shabbos. You don't have to know, then forget, and then know again. You just... if you forgot, and then you'd find out that you had forgotten when you did the sin. If you didn't, you were unawares of the sin, then you were a chayiv. But in tumah, it's different. You have to know that you're tameh, know that you can't walk into the mikdash, then forget that you were tameh. Walk into the mikdash while being in a state of forgetting that you're tameh or forgetting that it is a mikdash. Come out, and when you come out, be reminded or remember yourself that it was that you were tameh. You couldn't have gone into the mikdash. And then you have to bring the carbon. There has to be knowledge before, a state of unawares, and then knowledge after. And that's unique. Normally you just need unawares and knowledge after. Here you have to have knowledge before. So we said before, Gufa, we learned in the Braisa. Minayin, how do we know that the obligation of the sliding scale carbon for defiling the temple? Ein ochayiv, minayin, chein ochayiv, El al sheyesh b'yadia batchila v'yadia basofa helam b'intayim. How do we know that the only time you're obligated is that he knew first, he forgot, and then when he came out, he knew again. He became aware again. So Talmud Lomer, it's because the pasuk says v'ne'elam, v'ne'elam shnei pa'am. The pasuk says v'ne'elam twice. So, you know, I have it here in the margins of my Gemara. I don't know. I think the art scroll also in the margins of the Gemara, they have the whole pasuk.
Yeah.
So if you look at this pasuk, it's the second pasuk that's being quoted here. The pasuk is a little bit confusing, or I should say it's like missing. It doesn't tell us that the guy walked into the Beis HaMikdash. Listen to the pasuk. O nefesh asher tiga b'chol davar tamei, or a soul that will touch anything tamei. Let's say it touches a sheret, touches a dead rodent, a dead lizard. O benivlas chaya tamei. It can even touch a dead body of a non-kosher wild animal. O benivlas behemot tamei. It can touch the dead body of a domesticated animal. O benivlas sheret tamei. Or it touches a dead, you know, a nevela, dead sheretz. So by touching it, he becomes tamei. V'ne'elam imenu. And it becomes forgotten from him. V'hu tamei. And he is tamei. V'ashem, and he's guilty. Doesn't say guilty of what, just says he's guilty. Oh, ki yiga betumas adam l'chol tumaso asher yitma ba. Or if he will touch in the impurity of a man with whatever impurity that he touches, v'ne'elam imenu, and it is forgotten from him, v'hu yada, and then he becomes aware, v'ashem, and he's guilty. So it's interesting that the pasuk doesn't even tell us that we're talking about a situation of walking into the temple impure or eating. It just says he forgets and he's guilty. It doesn't say guilty of what, but guilty. Okay, but it said here twice and he forgets. V'ne'elam, v'ne'elam, shnei pam. It says v'ne'elam twice. V'ne'elam menu v'utame v'ashem. V'ne'elam imenu v'hu yada v'ashem. So the fact that it says v'ne'elam twice is to teach us the following, according to Rabbi Akiva. The first v'ne'elam is to say, according to Rabbi Akiva, again, he disagrees with our Mishnah, only if he forgets that he's tamei. V'ne'elam, if he forgets that he's tamei, is chayav karban. Not if he forgot that it is a temple. And then the second v'ne'elam is extra. So the second v'ne'elam is to tell us the following. Since it's extra, it's as if the v'hu yada, which is written after the second v'ne'elam, but since the second v'ne'elam is extra, we put the v'hu yada in front of the second v'ne'elam also. And it's saying both the interpretation he has to know, and what's literal. Yes, so the interpretation he has to know before, and the literal he has to know after. So again, we asked, how do we know he has to know before and he has to know after? The fact that it says v'ne'elam twice, and that's extra. The first time, fine, to teach me that he forgets that he's tummy, not that if he forgets that it's the mikdash. But why did it say v'ne'elam twice? The second time, what do we need it for? So the second time is to say, the second time is v'ne'elam, and then right afterwards it says v'hu yada, v'ne'elam, and he will know. So the second time is extra to say that the v'hu yada should be moved also to before the v'ne'elam. So v'hu yada, he knows, v'ne'elam, and then v'hu yada. So he knows, he forgets, and then he knows. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, that's a view of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, no. Ein od tzarach. You don't have to say, I need an extra word, v'ne'elam, and because I have an extra v'ne'elam, that can tell me to move the v'hu yada to also mean in front of the v'ne'elam. No. Harei omer v'ne'elam. The very fact that it has the word v'ne'elam means he forgot something that he knew. V'ne'elam. It'll be forgotten from him. That means he knew before. So v'ne'elam michlal shiyada. The word v'ne'elam itself means implied that he already knew. So then it says v'hu yada. Then it says after v'ne'elam, after the second v'ne'elam, we have the words v'hu yada, and he knows. That's the knowing of afterwards. Harei kan shtei yedios. That means he has to know afterwards. Imkein matam alomer v'ne'elam. So now, why do I have the second v'ne'elam? So the second v'ne'elam is to teach me l'chayv al helam, tumah v'al helam mikdash, to disabuse with Rabbi Akiva, and to say if he forgets that it is tameh, if he forgets that it is a mikdash, both would obligate him. Both if he forgets that it is a temple, if he forgets it's a sacrifice, Or if he forgot he was Tameh, he is obligated. Again, our point here is we're really focusing on what is the source that you have to know before and know after. According to Rabbi Akiva, the second Vinei Alam is not to teach me that if you forget that it's a temple, that you're still obligated, because he doesn't believe that. So the second Vinei Alam is extra. The fact that it's extra is giving me a signal to move the words of Huyada to before Vinei Alam. According to Rabbi, I don't need to move the words of Huyada to before Vinei Alam. I just know from the word Vinei Alam, and he'll forget that he knew before. So that means that he knew before, and he forgot. Yeah, question.
Yeah, maybe you addressed this before, but how is it possible that one could not know that he's entering the Mikdash? I mean, there's realistic possibilities. And there's no, I mean,
that's good. Maybe he's blindfolded.
The Torah doesn't teach us things that are so pashut that. You know,
I don't know about that. People sometimes are drunk.
If he was drunk, that would be a separate.
Is that knowing that he is a Tameh?
Or that he doesn't know that it's a temple. That's the view of Rebbe. If he doesn't know that it's a temple, that also would be obligated in this carbon.
What about why would we say he didn't know there was usher to eat tummy in the Mikdash? Why isn't that a more reasonable knowledge that he didn't have, as opposed to not knowing that he was in the Mikdash?
Don't we see already? We're always discussing theoretical.
Yeah, we talk about theoretical situations. Yeah. Dementia, all sorts of things could happen. Person could have mistakes. Yeah, question, David?
Just the second Yiddi at the end, he obviously won't bring a korban.
If he doesn't know.
Yeah, so why do you, the Torah doesn't even say that.
That's a good point. I guess because we would have thought that maybe, the communal korbanos could atone for it, like we saw in the Mishnah, the korbanos of Yom Tov or Rosh Chodesh. How do we know that this is what...
But it just seems like there's no nafkamina, because you never know, it's on the brink.
That's true. So now the Gemara is going to try to work through this price. Amar Mar, we just said that Rebbe works on the word Vinei Alam itself, since the pasuk says, and it'll be forgotten from him. Michlal Shayata, that implies he already knew. My Mashma, how do you see in the word Vinei Alam that he knew before, and now it's forgotten? Amar Rava, so Rava said, Midiloksa, because it doesn't say Vihi Aluma Mimenu. It was unknown from him. It says, and it will become unknown. Become unknown means he knows, and it becomes unknown. He forgets. Amalei Abaye says, if Rebbe holds it every time Vinei Alam means he knows, and then he forgets, Elameata, what are we going to do with Gabe Sota? What are we going to do in regards to the situation of a Sota? So now if you look back in the Gilyon HaShas, not the Gilyon HaShas, the Masoras HaShas, if you look at the Masoras HaShas, we have Vishachav Ish Osa. If a man will sleep with her, shichvas zera, right? So the case is that a man is upset with his wife, she's alone with another man, he's jealous. And the verse says, if a man will sleep with her, the sleeping of seed, v'ne'elam me'enei isha, and it is ne'elam from the eyes of her husband, v'nistara, and she's alone, v'hi nitma'a, she became impure, v'eid einba, but there was no witnesses, v'hi lo nispasa, she wasn't raped. So, 1 second. It says, v'ne'ala me'ene isha. It means, michlal da v'yada me'ikara. Does it mean that he knew? He knew that she had become impure, and then he forgot about it? Yeah, v'yada. If he knew that she had become impure and then he forgets about it, so mi bat kulamaya, would the water even have checked her? Right? If he knew that she had become impure, and then he forgets about it. The way Tosos explains is that apparently he doesn't care so much if he forgets. Right? He knows that she's impure, then he forgets about it. So then if he doesn't care so much, the waters are not going to check her anymore, because that's not a man who is righteous. Only a husband who's very righteous will the waters check. V'atanya, as we learned in a brisa, v'nika yishmiavon, the man will be cleansed of any sin if the wife dies because of the waters. Ha'isha itisa savona, that woman will carry her sin. Bisman sheishmenuka me'avon, amayim bodkenes ishto. If the man has no sin, then the waters will make his wife die. Ein ishmenuka me'avon, but if the man is not cleansed of all sin, ein amayim bodkenes ishto, the waters are not going to check his wife because he's not so perfect himself. So if he's someone who knows that she was disloyal, more than just being alone in the room, he knew that she did something there. And then he forgot. So the waters would never even work, because he's not such a righteous man.
Sota was it, right?
What's Sota?
Sorry, Rabbi. So we're saying here, for someone who decides he wants to have Shalom Bayit and he wants to forget about his wife's sin, that he's now a guilty man because he decided to forget about it.
That's what the way Tosus reads this Gemara, right? Rashi is another explanation.
In reality, though, that's not something that would be in practice today. I mean, I think all rabbis would encourage a man and a husband to make shalom and just forget about it. You know,
if he knows that she did something,
yeah. He should forget about it.
Not sure.
He should forget about it.
Not sure. He's not allowed to be with her.
For the sake of shalom, go. There's no shalom by marriage. Go to marriage. No one says because you had infidelity.
Infidelity is very, there's nothing to do.
He's
not allowed to be with her.
Right?
If he believes her, I mean, if he doesn't believe that something happened, then he can make shalom bayis. You know, he thinks she had a boyfriend, but they didn't do anything. But if he really knew that something happened and he believes that there was intercourse with a man other than him, he can't forgive. He's not allowed to be with her anymore. So the Gemara now asks. So again, right?
Everything for the sake of shalom.
Not everything. Some things the marriage is already done, unfortunately. The su, and furthermore, gabe Torah d'chsiv. If you're going to say the word vanilla means he knows and then he forgets. In regards to Torah, it says, Vinelma me'ene kolchai. It was hidden from the eyes of all that are living. Umeofa shamayim nistaran. From the birds of the heavens it was hidden away. Mechlal dikadav yadabe. Was there someone who did know the value of Torah that it was forgotten from them? But it says lo yada inesh erka. The pasuk there goes on to say no person appreciated the value of Torah. So you see that vinelam doesn't mean you know and you then forget. Elam Rabbaye, Sabaye holds like this. How does Rebbe know that Yediyah Satuma? That when it comes to Tuma, it has to be Yediyah, then Ne'alam, and then Yediyah. So he said it's implicit in the word Ve'alam, but Ve'alam doesn't mean you know and you then forget. Kasava Rebbe holds like this. Yediyas Beis Rabo. What a person learns as a child in the elementary school, from his Rebbe, that if a person touches a dead sheretz, he becomes tamei. Shema Yediya. That's already considered knowing. That if he already knew as a child that there is such a thing as tumah, that's already the knowledge of before. That's already knowing before. Even though he never paid attention, that he himself became Tameh, but the fact that he knew that there's such a thing as Tumah, that already is considered knowledge. And that's what's going on in Sota as well, right? That the knowledge is that the husband knows that if a wife were to become Tameh, she'd become prohibited to him. In regards to Torah, that even though they didn't know the value of Torah, but they knew that there is a Torah in the world. Amalei Rav Papa l'Abayis. Rav Papa said to Abayis, how could the knowledge of knowing before just be that you know of such a concept? El Diktani, but our Mishnah said, Ein b'yadiyah batchila. He didn't know that he was Tamei. But yesh b'yadiyah basof. He knew when he came out of the temple that he was Tamei. Niyakud lesla yadiyah beis rabo. I mean, how many people never know that there's such a thing as Tumah? Amalei Abaye said, "In there are such things." Mishkachas la betinok shenishba levena nachrim. If a Jewish child was captured by Goyim and was raised by non-Jews, so he never knew that there's such a thing as tumah. So that's the case of Ein b'yediyah batchila. But according to Rebbe, yediyah batchila is a very low level of yediyah batchila. It's the level of v'ne'alam, a little bit. He knew that there's such a thing. He knew that there was such a concept. Knowing that there's such a concept of tumah, that's already enough that if he later goes into the temple, comes out, finds out he was tummy when he was in the temple, he should already be bringing a carbon ola v'yored. Okay, the Mishnah goes on. Now we're going to talk about the Mishnah case, the Mishnah's other cases. The Mishnah speaks about Shavuos, it talks about Yediyah Satuma, talks about Shabbos, and then it talks about Maros and the Goyim. So the Mishnah says, Yetzios HaShabbos Shtayim Shehin Arba. So what the Mishnah means is that in regards to carrying on Shabbos, there are two actions of carrying, of hotza'ah, that are explicit in the Torah text, and there are two that are not explicit, that are included, we'll call them subordinate, secondary forms of carrying. The biblical cases are, the Pasuk says, Vayitzav Moshe commanded, Vayaviru kol b'machaneh, and they spread a rumor, a voice in the camp, Al yetze ish mimkomo b'yom ha-shabbos. No person should go out of his place on the Sabbath day. And the Gemara says, Al yetze means al yotzi, that no person should carry from his home out into the public domain further donations for the Mishkan. That's the biblical don't carry out. So now when you talk about carrying out from a Rishus HaYachid, from a private domain to a public domain, we can think about two scenarios. One is a man standing inside the private domain who picks something up, moves it outside into the street and puts it down in the street. That would be Hutzas HaAshir, we'll call it, or Hutzas Balabayas. And the other would be Hutzas HaAni, a poor person who's standing in the street, puts his hand inside, lifts something off of the table, takes it out and puts it down into the street. And then the Mishnah says there are another two subordinate cases, namely where the object is not moving from the home to the street, but where the object moves from the street into the home, hachnasa. So that would be where either the rich man takes an item from outside, lifts it up, brings it in, puts it down inside, or a poor man standing outside lifts an item which is outside up, puts his hand in, and puts it down inside. So that's our Mishnah.
But Rabbi, this is a double, two actions.
That's right.
It's not one action for...
Correct.
Right?
That's right. Yeah, different actions.
Okay.
So now, Masechta Shabbos, the Mishnah there is a little bit different. So Tanan Hassan, we have a Mishnah, Masechta Shabbos, Yitzio Shabbos, the carryings of Shabbos, Shtayim Shehin Arba Bifnim. There are two cases which become four cases for the man who's inside, Ushtayim Shein Arba Bachutz, and two cases which become four cases for the man who's standing outside. And the Mishnah there explains that the two cases are, we can have two cases for the man inside, namely where the man inside picks up, puts his hand outside, and puts it down outside, picks up the item inside, puts his hand outside, puts it down outside. That would be one case of hotza'ah for the man inside. Then the man inside could have a case of hachnasa, where he puts his hand up inside without anything in it. He puts his hand outside. He takes something from outside, brings it inside, and puts it down. That would be two cases for the man inside. And then you could have two cases for the man inside that are not a chiyuv d'oraisa, but they are a chiyuv, they are a prohibition midrabban. Let's say two people do the malacha. He does the akira, he lifted it up, but then the man outside took it from his hand and put it down. So it's shnayim shotziyuah. If two people do the malacha, so then it's only an issa d'rabban and it's pater. But you could have two cases where he does the akira for a hotza'ah, or where he did the akira for a hachnasa. So the Mishnah there says you could have two cases, you have two cases which are chiyuv, hotza'ah v'achnasa, for the man inside. two cases of chiyuv, hotza v'achnasa, for the man outside. And then each one also has two cases of ptur, two cases of issur drabanan, where each one only did half of the malacha, half of a hotza or half of a achnasa, and that could be both for the man inside and the man outside. So that's what we have there. Again, it's not awesome. We have the mission there. Yetzio Shabbos, when it comes to the carryings of Shabbos, shtayim shein arba bifnim, there are two cases of chiyuv plus two cases of issur drabanan for the man inside. Ushtaim and two cases of chiyuv shein arba, which become another two cases of issur drabanan bachutz for the man standing outside. So now the Gemara asks, "Maishna hacha? Why over here the Tana shtaim shein arba v'sulo? Here it just says two, which are four, two cases that are biblical, explicitly biblical, otza, and two cases that are included biblical, hachnasa. Maishna hacha? Why over there the Tani where it goes further? It doesn't just tell us about cases of chiyuv, hotza v'achnasa, talks about hotza of two people done together, hachnasa of two people done together, the cases of pater avalasa, the cases of issur drabanan. So maishna hasam, the tani where it speaks about a total of eight cases, shtayim shein arba bifnim, ushtayim shein arba b'chutz, two which become four for the man inside, two which become four for the man outside. It's the answer of the Gemara, classical answer. Hasam dikur shabbosu. There it is, mesechta Shabbos. So if it's Masechta Shabbos, we talk about all the cases. So therefore, Tani Avos V'Toldos. There it's spoke about Avos Malachos, the primary forms of the Malacha, and Toldos, subordinate forms of the Malacha. Hach, over here, the Lavikur Shabbosu, this is Masechta Shavuos. It's not Masechta Shabbos. So Avos Tani, it only talks about the primary forms of the Malacha. Toldos Lo Tani, doesn't talk about the Toldos. Unless it doesn't work. Avos Mainina, what are the Avos? Yetzios, Hotzah. The Avos is taking from a private domain out into the public domain, because that's the Pasuk. Vayaviru koba machaneh, al yotzi ish mimakomo. The Pasuk says, don't carry out. That's the Avos. Yetzios, tarti avin. Hotzahos is only going to be two, because there's the man inside carrying out and the man outside carrying out. It's only two, it's not going to be four. Vechite mehen lechiv mehen leftur. If you're going to say there are Mishnah, which says that Yetzios HaShabbos is two, which is four, it means two cases of biblical carrying, namely the man inside picking up and taking out and putting down, the man outside picking up, taking out and putting down, and then another two cases that are only rabbinic carrying, namely the man inside picking up, but then the man outside taking from his hand and putting it down, or the man outside putting his, another case, the man inside picking up, putting his hand out, and the man outside putting his hand down. So that can't be. You can't say that our mission is only talking about cases of going from the private domain out. Because the Mishnah says the four cases of Shavuos, four cases of Yediyah Satzoma, four cases of Shabbos, and four cases of plagues. So Mahasim Kulu L'chiyuvah, the cases of the plagues are all obligations of a karban, whether the plague color is this shade of white or that shade of white, it's all a chiyuv karban. So therefore, avachah kulu chiyuvah. So here too, they're all obligations. Okay, so Ella Amar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa gave the following answer. Same basic principle. Again, why over here does it say two which are four? And why in Masechta Shabbos does it say a total of eight? Two which are four for the one inside, two which are four for the one outside. So Amar Rav Papa, hasam the ikur Shabbos. There it's Masechta Shabbos. So the goal is all about Shabbos. So Tani Chiyuvi, it talks about biblical sins. Upturi, it talks about rabbinic sins, namely where he doesn't have to bring a karban, but it is a rabbinic sin because it was two people doing it. One person lifted up, another person put down. But hacha chiyuvi tani, but here where it's not the main concept, Shabbos is not the main topic. So it talks about the biblical sins. Upturi lo tani, it doesn't talk about the rabbinic sins. Chiyuvi my ninu, one second, biblical sins, what do you have? It's only yitzios, it's only hotza. Yitzios tarti yahu, yitzios is only two. Davin shtay. The Gemara says no. Tartu davin. The Gemara says no. Shtayim dotzo. Shtayim dachnasa. It's a total of four because you have two of taking out from inside to outside, and two of bringing in from outside to inside. Iva yitzios katani. But our Mishnah says yitzios hashabbos. It doesn't say moving items. Am Rav Ashi tanachnasa nami hotza karile. The Tana calls the act of picking something up from the outside and bringing it inside to a home. Also, it's called hotza. It's called taking out. Mimai, how do we know this? It's not in the Mishnah. Hamotzi, Merishus lirishus chayiv. If someone takes out from one domain and puts down in another domain, he's obligated to bring a karbon chatas if he did it by mistake on Shabbos. So milo askinan to kamayelu yuli. It says if he carries out from one domain to another domain. So that includes also carrying in from a street into a home. The kakari lehotza. And the Torah calls it, the Mishnah calls it hotza. So you see that hotza implies also bringing in. So the question, right now, how do you know that? Maybe hamotzi is only where he literally takes out from a private domain into a public domain. So the Gemara says, then the language wouldn't be so precise. Imkain, if it meant that, nisni, it should say, hamotzi mirshus hayachal lirshus harabin. If someone takes out from a private domain to a public domain, he's chayiv. My mirshus lirshus. Why did the Mishnah say if he takes out from domain to domain? Oh, that's to tell you, afilu mirshus harabim, lirshus hayachid. Even from a public domain to a private domain, it's called carrying. And kakari lehotza, it's called hotza. So just like that Mishnah calls hotza, carrying from the outside to the inside, in our Mishnah where it says Yitzios HaShabbos, it includes also carrying from the outside to the inside. And so our Mishnah, which is only four cases, is because they're all biblical cases. Two cases of Hotza, two cases of Hachnasa. Mesechta Shabbos, which is all the laws of Shabbos, that has eight cases. Two cases which are four cases of Hotza for the man. Two cases which are four for the man inside, two cases which are four for the man outside, four cases of hotza, four cases of achnasa, two of chiyuv, two of ptur. Okay. V'taimamai. So now the Gemara says, V'taimamai. So now what's the reason why carrying from outside in is called hotza? So the Gemara answers, Tana, according to the Tana, kolakiras chefetz mimkomo. Any uprooting of an item from its place and now setting it down in another place, hotza karila. That's called taking out. Amar Ravina said, Masnisin, there is a Mishnah, Masechta Shabbos, Namiteka, that also clearly tells you that Yitzios includes Hachnasa. Tikatani, because it says there, Yitzios Shabbos, the carrying out of Shabbos, Shtein Shein Arba, two which are biblical, plus two which are rabbinic, for Bifnim, for the man inside. Ushtaim Shein Arba, and two which are biblical, plus two which are rabbinic, for the man standing outside. The Kamafari Shachnasa, and the first thing that it talks about is a man putting something in. It says, Ha'ani Omid Bachutz, the poor man is outside. Pashad Ani Yisrael Lefnim, and the poor man puts his hand inside. Then Nasim Letoch Yodesh HaBalavais, and he puts it down in the hands of the man inside. So Shmamina, so you see that even though it's moving in, it's called Ho'tza. Now the Gemara has another explanation, a totally different understanding of that Mishnah. Rav Amar Rava said, maybe there's another way to understand the Mishnah. Yitzios doesn't mean carrying out. Yitzios means Rishuyos Katani. Yitzios means domains. So the way to read our Mishnah would be Yitzios HaShabbos. There are two domains in Shabbos. There is Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabin. And Shehein Arba. Between them you have four obligations. You have the obligations of carrying in two times, for the man, one for the man inside, one for the man outside. And you have the obligations of carrying out, one for the man inside and one for the man outside. Cool. That's a different explanation. Rav Amar Rishuyos Katani, Rishuyos Shabbos Shtayim. There are two domains of Shabbos. Shein Arba, between the two domains, you have a total of four obligations.
Right, it doesn't touch the Rosh Hashanah thing. Is that also the Arisa, just carrying it in Rosh Hashanah for Amos?
That's not discussed in the beginning of Masechta Shabbos. That's later, okay. Right. So the Baal Amor has a very interesting idea. He says that carrying four Amos in Rosh Hashanah is a form of carrying out from a private domain to a public domain. Because we learned in Masechta Bava Metziah that Arba Amos Shel Adam Konoslo. And if you see a hefker item and it's within 6 feet of you, it's within your four amos, you acquire it because your four amos is your domain. So if you pick something up and you carry it four amos in a public domain, you're carrying it out from your private domain into Rosh Hashanah.
So it's embedded in this somehow.
It's a form of it. That's the Baal Amor's chiddush.
The
in the public domain, and you fall on it, and then someone takes it, that someone actually owns it, even though it was,
well,
you had fallen on it.
Oh, yes, if you didn't have the intent of acquiring. Because then you're not trying to acquire through Kinyan Dalet Amos.
Couldn't you argue that as he's traveling, his private domain is moving along?
That's true, right. That would be an argument on the Bala.
And violation of that is a stoning, Rabbi?
On purpose would be stoning. Yes. If their witnesses warned him and he accepted the warning. So the Mishnah went on. Again, the Mishnah began with Shvuo Shtayim Shein Arba. Then it spoke about Yediyas HaTumah Shtayim Shein Arba. Yitzias HaShabbos Shtayim Shein Arba. And finally, Maros Negayim Shnayim Shein Arba. In terms of the colors of Tzaraas, there are two that are biblical. Two that are explicitly biblical. Two that are addended biblical. A total of four colors. So Maros Negayim Shnayim, so those are the first. It says Adam ki yeb or b'saro se'es o sapachas o baheres. So se'es and baheres shein arba, and it becomes a total of four, which is the sapachas. So now it's not hasam. We have a mishnah in Masecht Negayim. The mishnah says the Torah says baheres maris negayim shnayim shein arba, the colors of negayim two, which become four. First, the Torah mentions Baheres. Baheres means Aza. It's very, very white. Kasheleg, as white as snow. Shniela, the secondary color of white, is Kesida Heichal, like the white of the wall of the Heichal in the Beis HaMikdash, which wasn't as white as snow. Then the Torah says Se'es. Se'es is a reference to Kitzemer Lavan, as white as fresh wool, so wool that came off of the sheep. It's a brand new sheep, it hasn't gotten dirty yet. It's not as white as snow. Ushni'alah, the secondary color after that, is kikrum beitza, is the white of an egg. So in terms of the whites, it's like this. The most white is the white of snow. A little bit less white is the white of wool. A little bit less white is the white of the wall of the temple. And a little bit less white of that is the white of an egg.
These are the colors of the lepers, right?
That's correct.
So why are they comparing it with the wall of Beit HaMikdash?
It was very white, the wall of the Beit HaMikdash.
So why they have to say Beit HaMikdash? They say white, you know, something like that.
That's the way to know.
Always the most white would be the snow. Always.
That's what it's saying, right. Now, there's also an amount of how much leprosy there has to be. That amount is a gris. So what happens...
Like the beard, white.
So let's say, what happens if a person has a little blotch, less than a gris, that's as white as snow, and then another little blotch, less than a gris, which is as white as the white of an egg. So would that combine to equal a gris to make him tamei? Reb Chanina. So Reb Chanina said, Man Tana Maros Negayim. Who is this Tana who lists all these Negayim like this? That there is the primary, the Av, and there is the Tolada. It must be the Loki Rabbi Akiva. It must be against Rabbi Akiva. Di Rabbi Akiva, because if it's according to Rabbi Akiva, came into Amar, Zola Malamizu, Zola Malamizu. He says that each color only combines with the color that's a little bit more white than it, but not to a color that's two levels of more white than it. So therefore, according to him, snow could come, let's say, wool could come, the white of wool could combine with the white of snow. But the white of the wall of the temple could not combine with the white of snow. So im kains, if so, right, according to, right, it couldn't be Rabbi Akiva. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, tiharta sid heichal militzaref, the white of the temple wall, which is the tolada of Baheres, it can't combine because Bahadi Man Litzarfa, who would it combine with? Litzarfe Bahadi Baheres to be combined with the white of snow. It can't, because Ikas Esta Difamine, because the white of wool is more whiter. So because there's snow, wool, then you have the white of the temple. Litzarfe Bahadi Seis, let it combine with the white of wool. But no, lav tolada didei, it's not subordinate to wool. It's only subordinate to snow. It's the tolada of baheres. So ihachi, so the Gemara says, well, if that's your problem, krum beit sanami. According to Rabbi Akiva, the white of an egg, who's it going to combine with? Bahadi man litzerfe. Litzerfe bahadi se'es, let it combine with the white of wool. On the other hand, you have the white of the temple wall, which is more white. Litzrafe Bahade Sid, to combine with the white of the wall of the temple, Lav Barminehu. It's not from the same type. So the Gemara answers, Hi Mai. Why? That's not such a question. That's not such a question. Bishlama below Sid Hecha. That's not such a question. You know, from the...
So you're saying you can only compare with one level next to you.
We're assuming. And if you... Well, first of all, Rabbi Akiva says you can only link things that are of similar levels.
Right.
Not if there's another thing in between. But then if the Mishnah says that the two colors that are closest to each other, the two most white, right, are both avos, and then the others are tolados of them, the tolados can't combine with their own av. They're subordinate of this av, but they can't combine because they're not as white. There's another white in between. So Gemara says, that's not such a question. Hi, Mai, that's not such a question, this last question.
Can a tolada of one combine with the other of another? Why is that a problem?
We assume not. It's tolada. It's the child of this. It has to be in this category.
They can only go one way.
So the Gemara says, Hi, Mai. Bishlama below Sid Heichal. If you didn't have the issue of the white of the temple wall, Krum Beitza Lokasha, the white of an egg wouldn't have been such a question. Afal Gav, the Krum Beitza Mitatoi Deseis, even though the white of an egg is very far from the white of wool, I would say it combines to the white of wool. Rachman Amar v'laseis v'lasapachas. The Torah says the white of wool and that which is next to it. So sapachas tefelo l'seis, that its tolada certainly is combined with it. Afal gav d'minach d'minei tuvi, even though it's very far from it. Ela sid hecha, but what are we going to do with the other tolada? The tolada of the wool of the temple. Ela machvarta, so what do we see again? Masnisin, Delo Kriyab Yakiva. The Mishnah doesn't work according to Rabbi Akiva. Okay, let's start.